Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So nice of him to join us on his afternoon off as he gets ready to broadcast Padre baseball again tonight. But I think maybe a bit of a labor of love for Ted Leitner to come on and talk a little bit about Tony Gwynn, and we're so happy to have him. Ted, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are things?
We are excellent. I thought it would be kind of a guest choice. We'll either let you talk about how much you love Tony Gwynn or Coors Field. You pick.
Well, it's a slam dunk. A slam dunk, of course. Yes. My all-time favorite place. It's a wonderful place. It's a nice place. It's like Bruce Bochy said when the Giants played here Thursday for a 12-11 game, and Boch said, reflecting on his career as he steps down for the Giants, or they push him out, whichever it happens to be, I have no idea, that he said, I love Denver, he said, I love Colorado. I've had some real problems with Coors Field.
And, I'll miss
baseball, but I won't miss grinding in the dugout, as he put it, and trying to play, quote, baseball, end quote, in Coors Field.
Ted, you obviously had the opportunity to watch my dad's career in its entirety. Give us one of your favorite moments watching my dad.
Oh boy! How much time do you guys got?
We got as much as you need.
I'll tell you what, because when you said, Chris, on the introduction here, we celebrate the life and times of Tony Gwynn, and the truth of the matter is, I celebrate the life of Tony Gwynn almost every day during the baseball season, because it's a Padre game. How could I not think of Tony when I'm broadcasting a Padre game? And it's impossible, let alone, as you guys both know, in the radio booth, there are multiple pictures of him that I put up. Yeah. And I will go to a commercial break and I will lean back. If I look to my left, there's Tony in mid-swing. If I look to my right, there's a picture up or above of Jerry Coleman. There's not a game that I broadcast where I either A, don't think of them, or B, don't mention them, and I try to make it both every time I possibly can. And to Junior, to your question, there's so many moments, so I'll go back to the first moment.
In other places besides San Diego, and I think you can speak to that to a certain extent, but I saw it firsthand that night in Philadelphia, and I was really, really touched by that.
There's no question. And those fans, you know, I did television sports there and the Eagles games on exhibition games for a couple of years way back in the 70s. And, yes, they're tough as can be. They're tough fans, brutal, brutal fans at times, but they know baseball. And they respect baseball, and they respect the players who respect baseball. So they knew the kind of – when people always make that phrase that this guy does it the right way. And then would teach rookies how to do it the right way. Tony played baseball the right way and treated the media and the fans the right way. He thought that was part of his job. He learned that from Steve Garvey. I've mentioned that on many occasions because Tony had said that he followed Garv and watched Garv and learned how to be a professional, how to be respectful for the media. Yeah, they can be a gigantic pain in the keister, but they know, and Steve knew and Tony knew they have a job to do, and it's a job that makes you very famous and makes you some money at the same time by being famous or more famous, whichever, or showing the public what you do and getting an appreciation of that. And the media is very important to players. Many don't recognize that. Tony, like Garv, always recognized that. So, yes, we saw that on the road and in those final years without question. At St. Louis, when McGuire's going for the home run and Tony's going for 3,000, they treated Tony just like McGuire. One of those big guys in baseball that, quote, do it the right way, and every city respected him without any, even Wrigley Field, where they treated him like garbage, I thought, and would throw pennies and batteries at him, and in right field, and they would have that chant, fee-fi-fo-fum, Tony Gwynn's a bleeping bum. These guys were brutal, brutal, but that last year, when he goes out there to right field, it's a standing ovation, because they were giving it to him, and he never complained about it, and that was typical Tony. And they, even those people, Wrigley Field, you know, voted in their high school class most likely to take a life. Those kind of people that they respected Tony. And yes, I saw that, as you mentioned, all over. And from the media alone, it was, man, oh man, anything I needed. And I was up against deadline. And I had everybody else say no. Tony Gwynn says yes. And that, I think that's a great thing. That when Larry Lucchino was the Padre president, and somebody asked a group to come on, wanted to come on the field for batting practice, and one of the executives said, no, it's too much trouble, yada, yada, yada. And Larry went ballistic. And he went to that executive and said, you know, we're in the public. We have this ball club. We don't really own it. We're stewards of it. It belongs to the public. We are, you know, but they own us. Yes, they do. Our job, said Larry Lucchino, was to say yes to people. Tony got that way before Lucchino, and his job was to say yes. And he did it 99% of the time. And how do you match a guy like that, a man like that, a ball player like that? And I've been around with many teams, not just in San Diego, but in Connecticut and Philadelphia and Oklahoma. I never met a finer player who was, as they always say, even a better man. It's kind of a cliche now, but that was Tony.
Ted, I've never got that chance to ask you this. What do you remember most about that 94 season when he was really approaching that 400 mark?
It's amazing to me because he never said it at the time of the strike. And then we're doing a banquet together, and I introduce him, and he goes up there, and, you know, he would never boast, ever brag, ever. And he tells this group when they bring up the same question you just brought up, Tone, that he says, I know I would have hit 400 that year. And he would never have said that. I always thought that it's so difficult to do that. And the media, which is not, you know, as great and large as now back then, but still it was plenty much. And I remember the 3,000 hit thing that drove him nuts with the media. Now I'm thinking a whole August and September of all the media. Well, Tony Gwynn hit 400. National media, CBS television coming in.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All that stuff would have driven him crazy. So you always assume that they're going to pitch it differently, the relievers are going to pitch it differently, and you wouldn't hit 400. So I assumed that. I always thought that Matt Williams, with that season interrupted, was going to break the home run record. As great as he was the first half by the All-Star break, I thought Matty would hit and break the record there way before McGuire did it. And I was wrong, of course. But when Tony said, I know I would have hit 400, I was stunned, because he basically said every out, every ball I hit, it never stopped. It was a screaming line drive. Now, we don't know that it might have stopped in the middle of August when the strike came on August 12th. We have no idea. But for him to say that, I believe that, because he would never say anything like that. And that's what I remember about 94, without any question. 400 is so impossible to hit nowadays, and he really thought in his heart of hearts he was going to do it. We'll now never know. And boy, oh boy, that was what a cherry on the top of that Sunday it would have been for the Tony Gwynn career from a baseball standpoint.
There's so many people walking around Ale Smith Brewery here that have their 394 Ale t-shirts on. It's too bad we couldn't have named that 411 Ale or something like that.
Oh, or as high as that is, right.
I'll take 401, because I saw a great tweet. On the road in Arizona when Fran Neal hit a home run, and I saw a tweet the next day. He said, I was watching the game. I opened to 394. Fran Neal went deep. Coincidence? I think not.
That's right. Well, Ted, have as much fun as you can in Denver. I know it's always always a challenge for you, but get a couple of victories and bring them on into L.A., and then we'll see you next weekend. But thanks so much
for coming on, Ted.
Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. And happy birthday, Tony. We love you so much. We miss you. every single day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.